Awesome. It's been a really good night tonight, and it's been really good. Tonight we're obviously talking about myths, and it's very hard for me to talk because I've got sort of like a big bracelet, so you know, we can't talk much. I'm only joking to myth. I've been practicing a week, so hopefully you won't hear that hissing too much. But I did lose my glasses, so you're going to have to bear with me because I'll be looking at the notes every now and then. You know, as I was searching for it, obviously I wanted to know what the definition of a myth was. So I looked up the dictionary, and basically what it is, it's a widely held but false notion. Or it could be a fictitious person, it's coming out, things or idea. So basically that's what myth means. So it means something that we think is true, but, or many people think it's true, but it's actually not. So, and obviously there's a lot of myths that as we grow up or as we live life, we sort of hear a lot of different things that people believe and, you know, people hold to. And it sometimes even, like, governs the way they do things in life. Having said that, we want to go to myth one. We'll just go through, like, in trying to bust the myths or confirm them. The first one, it's Eve's fault Adam ate the apple. Now, it's an oldie, but it's a goodie. Like, when we discuss what happened there, we'll look at some proofs and see what actually happened. In Genesis, the next slide, please. In Genesis 1:6-17, it says, "But the Lord God warned him, 'You may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die.'" Now, Adam was given that instruction. And it's funny that the serpent, like when he came to try and discredit God, he approached a woman. And in Genesis 3, it also says, you haven't got this up there, but I'll just read it to you. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals in the Lord that the Lord had made." The serpent, that is, said to the woman, "Did God really say that you must not eat of the tree in the garden?" And so on. I found it interesting that that the serpent chose to attack the woman, because God actually spoke to her in that sense. God actually spoke to the man, and it was the man's responsibility to sort of follow through. And so he attacked her, and in a way, that's how he attacks us as well. Like, you know, in other parts of the Bible, it says, it refers to wisdom as a woman. I found that a bit interesting. I don't know, maybe Pastor Chris will correct me later on. But I found that like wisdom is represented as a woman, and the serpent still tries that even today. Like, he comes and tries to reason with us, you know, and he tries to question what God is saying through his word, through his Holy Spirit in us, and through our leaders, you know. And one of his best weapons, I guess, is to just make us reason too much. And God gave Adam clear instructions. He could have just, you know, turned away and ran towards God and said, "God, look what's happening, you know, what do I do?" And God would have helped him out. Fact two is that Adam disobeyed. Even though Adam, was encouraged by Eve, because Eve said to him, "Look, I've tasted it, and it's good." And she obviously had no immediate side effects. Like, she looked well, and she was enjoying it, I guess, enjoying that the fruit, because it was desirable to the eyes, and it did give her wisdom, like the serpent said, to a degree. And Adam thought, wow, it's probably not true, you know, but he was the one that God actually told him, "You will die," and
and he knew exactly what God said about it. So, you know, it was at that time that he should have just turned and ran, sort of thing. And so we see here that the fact number two is that Adam did disobey. He had, you know, like this reminds me, like sometimes at work, you know what I'll do, but sometimes at work we have to study the law in regards to what we're allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do. And it's very important, because if we end up in an incident, we have to know why we did it and what justified us to do that. Otherwise, we could end up going to jail, which is pretty scary. And one of those laws I quoted to you, it's the justification for warning shots. You know, in the movies, you see the bad guys running away, and the police go, bang, get down or we're going to shoot you this time, you know. That's not true. That's a myth. You're not allowed to do that in real life. There's no justification whatsoever. The police will not accept that as an excuse. The actual law states, when are you allowed to shoot a warning shot? And the law says, never. And the reasons why, there's two reasons why. One is, you're responsible for where the projectile ends up, which is fair enough. And the second reason is, simply because the coroner said so. Who's the coroner? Well, here's the law. Here's the man that says, this is the way it's going to be. And that's just the way it is. No one's going to question that. He's the coroner. And God is a coroner. You know, sometimes we can try and reason things that we know are sort of grayish in our lives. But the Holy Spirit will always bring us back to the coroner, and he'll always tell us, you know, what's the coroner saying, you know. And sometimes we have to just forget reasoning and just say, why do I need to do this, or why don't I want to do this? It's simply because the coroner said so, because God said so, you know. So, and I think we can go to the next one. Yeah, and God gave man free will. So Adam knew, and there was no doubt in him what was happening, although he sort of fell short of what was expected of him. He had a free choice to do what he'd done. So I think this myth is busted. Yes, so that myth is busted. Second one is myth two, Jesus will return. Now, there's a lot of people that don't believe this, and sadly enough, I've been like searching the internet, and it was pretty scary, actually. There was a deacon, I won't mention the denomination, I might get in trouble again, but apparently this deacon was just saying, nah, that's just a myth. That's something that it's written, but it's not really true. It's not going to happen. And apparently this person also went on to say that the resurrection wasn't true and all this, and it was just terrible. And this person was a deacon, you know, which, so there's a lot of negativity out there, I guess. But what's the proof about this? Jesus said, I think we go, yeah, there we go. Jesus said, you will hear in Matthew 24:3-8, you've all heard this before, but you will hear of wars, rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Now, you know, like I talk to some people sometimes, and they all say, yeah, well, whoopie do, you know, we've always had war, we've always had famine, we've always had, you know, rumors of things going wrong in the world, you know, and they say, well, you know, anyone could have said that. But Jesus goes on to say that this is the beginning, and it's like giving birth, like when a woman gives birth, she starts having contractions, is that right? Contractions, yeah. blame these contractions. And yeah, but as the time approaches, we'll see that these are more frequent and they come sooner to themselves, like you will see. And I believe that you know, where no one knows the hour or anything, but I believe that we're very close because we see a lot of things in the world. I don't know if just we have better media or what, but it just seems to me like there's always something happening and there's always rumours of countries at war and things like that. So to me, this seems to indicate that it's confirmed. Yeah, so... All right, and we've got one more myth. And the myth is that all good people go to heaven. Who agrees? No? Oh, okay. We'll look at some evidence on that. Well, it sounds right. I mean, it does sound right. I mean, if you're good, you should go to heaven. You know, it sounds right. You know, it's reasonable for us to think that, hang on, you know, if I do enough good, outweighs the bad, you know, come on. God is a reasonable God, you know. We'll get there. You know, he's not that, you know, he's not that much of a coroner, is he? Yeah. I mean, you know, sure, you know, guys like Jason Moran, you know, they did their bad, but they've given a lot of money to charity too. So, come on, you know, give him a go, you know. You know, I mean, yeah, so, you know, look, we're not like that, of course. I mean, we're not that bad. So, is it, you know, good people must go to heaven. I mean, if it's just based on your own natural goodness. You know, I've got a little story that this evangelist once told me. I think it'll be interesting. The story goes like this. There was a king once, and he wanted people to come into his kingdom. And he said, he sent a decree out and he said, go post it on the villages and that. And he said, look, I want all the peasants and all the people out there to come in, and they're all welcome. Doesn't matter who they are, whether they're landlords, peasants, whoever they are, it doesn't matter. They're all invited, and I want them all to be part of the kingdom. And I want them to sort of help me clean up a bit too, clean up the windows and that, you know, the stained glass windows, let all the nice light through. He goes, but, you know, there's one condition, they have to come through that east gate. And so the decree was put up, and some people came in through the east gate and they started helping him wash the windows, and he gave them their cloth and they were doing a really good job. Other people said, yeah, that sounds good, you know, but they wanted to do it on their own accord. They went to the north gate and they started cleaning the windows from the outside. Now, they were doing good deeds, but they were using their own rags and they were dirty. And the king was sort of getting a bit frustrated. So he put up another decree, you know, and said the same thing. But these people continued on, you know. And so I think, you know, it's a good analogy of how God is. You know, God's given us a way to the Father. You know, God's given us a way to himself, and that's the door, Jesus Christ, you know. And, you know, look, you know, if it was based on just good works, I mean, I've met people like, the other day I met a Hare Krishna, and he was telling me all the things that they do, you know, and some things are really like self-sacrificial, you know, like they don't get married to anyone, they let someone else choose for them. I mean, that's pretty, you know, humbling, I reckon. And they also wear these funny clothes, and they reckon it's because they don't want to care about their appearance, things like that, you know, and they seem very noble, they seem very good. But at the end of the day, I thought to myself, so what is it? Like, maybe, you know, he is a good guy, you know, and he was a good guy. He seemed peaceful. He goes, I meditate, you know, 5 hours a day, and I get peace and that. I thought, wow, you know. He goes, come and eat some vegetable soup or something. I said, no, I've got time. But anyway, because of other reasons. What's it called? You know, so he seemed all right, but then I thought, what's the difference, man? You know, why be a Christian? You know, can we have the next slide? Yeah, so sometimes, God doesn't want our sacrifices cleaning the windows. You know, God doesn't want us to go around doing things, you know, that appear good. He just simply wants us to obey. And that's a scripture there, to obey is better than sacrifice. And yeah, can we have the next one? Thanks. Yeah, so, you know, I thought, why be a Christian? I mean, what is it about being a Christian, that's important. You know? And it came down to that. It came down to that Jesus is the door and we need to obey and we need to go to him for salvation. Otherwise, it's by grace. Otherwise, it's by works. And, you know, the scripture, Ephesians 2:9, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Yeah, so can we have the next one? Yeah, that's right. So, so it's not of works, but it's a free gift from God. And just going back, I've confused it a bit, but just going back to that second one, where it talks about Jesus returning. Can we have that show? That little show. I just found a little show that you might find interesting. I found it interesting. A sort of little clip, yeah. You were meant to say that before, sorry about that. Yeah. But that just sort of, you know, emphasizes what's been happening in the world, and Jesus is coming back soon. And having said that, I want to also remind us of the 10 virgins mentioned in Matthew 25:1. And there it talks about, you know, the virgins and how there was 10 of them. And it's funny, when I used to read it, I used to think that it was talking about non-saved people and saved people, and then I read, when I started reading again and like in going to church, I realized that it was talking about believers, and it was talking about, you know, a virgin is someone that's been made clean. You know, when you think about virgins, you think about something pure, and I thought, wow, they're virgins, you know, what's going on there? And they're all virgins, the 10 of them, you know. But then it says that 5 were wise and 5 were unwise, were silly, you know. And why were they silly? Well, because they started to listen to myths that weren't in line with God. And not only did they start to listen to them, because we all hear them all day, they started to believe that more than what the Word says. And that's where we have to be careful, like even at school, even at workplaces, wherever we're at, we just got to really weigh things up against what God's saying, because I know that sometimes it's hard to sort of stand alone, you know, like you know, they want to invite you out or come to the party, you know, or come on, let's do this, you know, and there's really no reasoning for it, for you to say no, like, it doesn't really sound that bad, but just somewhere in your heart, you know that it's not quite right, NQR, you know, comes from the reject shop somewhere, you know, and you think to yourself, hang on, I don't want to really go there, but I've got no real excuse. But then you just got to go back to, hey, the coroner said so, you know, simple as that. You know, and it doesn't matter what they think, you know. You know in the end that, you know, you're going to be a wise virgin, you know, and we want to sort of, and that's motivates me anyway to keep true to what I believe, you know. Even though we make mistakes, and we all make mistakes, you know, God's always faithful to forgive us and things, but we can always go back to God's word, and it keeps us good, you know. So can we go to the next slide? So I think that's busted. Jesus is coming back. And And yeah, so see, I got there now. Some explosives I borrowed from MythBusters. I got on the internet and I said to them, you know, can we use some explosives? It won't blow up big, but just a little explosion. I put a bit of extra gunpowder in there. I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer who can do it. Someone that can read. Give it a look. Oh, okay. Let's go. Okay, you need to be very careful. This is a fire blanket, just in case it goes off. I'll be over there somewhere, okay? Just wait for me to go away. What does that say?
Do not pray. Oh, explosive.
Yeah. And what does that say?
Do not pray.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, don't press. All right. It's going to be good if you press it, though. It's going to be really good. You're going to get a real buzz out of it. It's going to be dynamic. It's going to be, because it's got dynamite. Dynamic. You know? So, what does it say again?
Do not press.
All right, okay. But I want you to press it because it's going to be really exciting, okay? All right, just wait for me to go away. Just careful, all right? I'll put that there, all right? Just when I tell you, just press it, okay? Okay. Okay. All right. Am I far enough? Yeah, I guess so. Okay, press it, brother. Now press it. Go. Press it hard. You can press it. It's got. Ready? We'll press it together. Ready, set, go. Boom. Oh, there was nothing there. See? Yeah. Sorry, brother. But as you can see, it's an empty barrel. See? But sometimes life is like that, you know? We get told by people, or, you know, things we believe or hear, and we get all excited, you know? And we get, you know, sometimes the world tells us to press certain things, you know, in the hope that it's going to fulfill us. But in the end, it's only a myth. It's empty. But God's word is not a myth. And in the end, even right now, it gives us a full joy, a wisdom that comes from God, not from the world. So thank you for doing that, brother. It was good. Yeah, on that note, I want to finish off. Yeah. Maybe we'll... look, if there's anyone here tonight that maybe, you know, like, you know, we don't want to be busted by God living a myth sort of thing, you know, and that's the important thing in life is knowing that we're right with God in the end. So if there's things in your life that are not quite right, or you've never asked Jesus into your heart, tonight the altar is open, you can do that, and God is faithful. And I can assure you, he's not a myth. God is real. When I was doing this search, I was doing a lot of research, and a lot of good things came up. There's so much to talk about. But I came to the conclusion that God does not exist. Amen? Oh. No, it's just a play of words. God is existence. You know, God is God. Something that exists has a beginning and an end. God, in that sense, doesn't exist because he's always been, and God is there, you know. And even your own body tells you, as we've been watching, as Pastor Chris has all those programs, you know, like telling us about our body and the universe. That's just evidence that God is real and God is there. So if anyone tonight wants to accept God or, you know, just wants to come up for a prayer, you're welcome. So thanks, God.
Thanks, Christian.